Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Hail, hail, the gang is all here, headed up by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is an honor to join you here this morning, Ron, on November 11th, 2021, if you're live, which you are today, Thursday, 11-11. And we are thankful and grateful to be able to be here. We enjoy this very much. Do we not, Heidi?
Yes, we do.
I think that's fair to say. Welcome, Heidi Thompson.
Heidi Thompson.
Our managing executive.
Thank you.
You bet.
Shay,
our CXO, Chief Experience Officer, doing a lot of work and getting some advertising going up on that new building that we've got going over there on 8th and Garfield, just to let people know that eventually we will be moving in there, at least
eventually.
Anyway.
The key word, I think.
Eventually. We use that word here a lot.
Yes. Eventually.
Yeah.
It's like the word interesting.
Process, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we do also, after the end of the first break, we're going to have an interview with our own David Guthrie III that Shay did. Thank you very much for doing that. And he is a veteran, and he'll be speaking about his own leadership experiences that he got out of being a veteran. So thank you. Thank you to all of our veterans for your service to our country. We appreciate it very much. Now, today, we're going to be talking about early distributions and 10% penalty exceptions. And why does this make a difference? Well, a 10% penalty can be real money.
It can.
10%, just keep in mind, of $10,000 is $1,000. 10% of $100,000 is $10,000.
Yes.
Now, why not try to avoid those penalties with these distributions that you might want to take?
Exactly, because as we know in retirement rules, if there's a rule, there might be an exception, and there are many exceptions to the rule, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Said so well, Heidi. So the exceptions are voluminous. They are amazing how many exceptions to that rule that there can be if these are handled properly. So why not save the money? And if you are thinking you may have a life event, consult with someone who knows how to help you possibly avoid these penalties. Early withdrawals from retirement accounts should be discouraged because they reverse the retirement savings process. You know, all the disclosure we need to say, frankly, it does reverse the savings process. And early distributions are the most expensive. They are highly inefficient as they are subject to both the income tax and possibly the 10% early withdrawal penalty, which combined can erode half of the distribution. So in discussing this, you and your financial advisor may say, well, oh my gosh, you know, what are your other alternatives to taking these withdrawals? Could that be a much cheaper way to go? Well, I've got to pay interest. Well, how much would that interest be? How long would it take you to pay it back? That sort of thing. It may wind up costing you a full 10% to borrow the money versus 40% to take it out as a distribution. Which would you rather pay?
Okay, so as a layperson here, not an advisor, just to give the audience a heads up, retirement accounts, they don't want you taking your money before a certain age.
Right.
Why is that?
There's silence in the room. I'd like to draw some money out. Well, okay. So, Shay, Heidi, go.
Well, my answer would be that they're designed for retirement, and they're really trying to encourage people to save for retirement to make their situation better in retirement, because Social Security is only going to get us so far. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago when Bob Simpson was here. So they're encouraging you to do so. And how they do that is by putting these penalties or restrictions on being able to use the funds before you're 59 and a half.
But again, many ways to avoid these 10% penalties. And in some cases, you know, to speak to the other side of it, this is the only choice you got.
Right.
Well, what are some reasons people want to take money early?
Well, there's tons of reasons why you might want to. But, you know, in the real world, we can't just go just with the idea of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're forced, or you really need to access those funds. It's all you have, or the only recourse mm-hmm. you have. So there are some 10% early withdrawal penalty exceptions.
And we should talk about those.
We should. And we probably should mention the three different categories that they sort of are aligned in.
Yeah, they're called exceptions. Each of them start with the word exceptions. Number one, apply to distributions for both company plans and IRAs. Some of them rather apply to both. Two, exceptions that apply only to distributions from IRAs, and then those that apply only to company plans. So we go through our voluminous materials. I think that's the word of the day. Dennis gets stuck.
Voluminous.
Stuck. I'm sorry for using that word. The number of plan options. So number one, distributions made after age 59 and a half are not subject to the 10% early distribution exception, attainment of age 55. If you're in an employer plan.
Yes.
Imagine that. So you've got a 401k. You're summarily fired next week. Well, you happen to be 56. Oh, well, if you should need the funds, it's always important to know. If I leave that money in the 401k versus rolling it to my IRA, which was what, you know, the standard, perhaps, recommendation you might get, you might want to leave some or all of that money in the 401k so that you could take a withdrawal for emergency needs if you have, you know, but we need the funds because I lost my job, as an example.
Right. And the reason that this is important, because if you're in that situation, if you rolled it all of that money in a 401k over to an IRA at before you're 59 and a half, then that penalty kicks in, because this exception is only for plans. So you might want to maybe leave a lump sum in the plan to access during that period of time until you're 59 and a half. Mm-hmm. So you should use that strategy and think about that before you make the distribution.
Now, attainment of age 50, a separation of service occurs during the year a public safety worker attends age 50 or later. So there are some plans that offer a 50 or later early distribution. It's important to know those, too, in terms of what if I've got a 457, as an example. That plan allows you to take money at age 50 or later. So instead of, again, rolling that to an IRA, consider keeping a portion or all of it in that 457 plan if you think you might need some of those funds, and or possibly to even use it to supplement your income from other sources you're getting for a while. The nice thing is you don't have to lock in to most of these plans. You can take distributions, perhaps as an example, for a year and then stop. I can go in, I can go out. In, out, in, out. That's from MASH, in case you were wondering, Ron, right? Okay. Yes. He digresses. Two, disability applies to all plans and IRAs.
So both types.
Yes, yep. But disability is defined as being unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of a medically determinable physical or mental impairment, which can be expected to result in death. So this is a serious disability. So. And not that you just busted a foot, if you will. Okay? Serious disability.
I never honestly thought about that with a company plan, asking what's the exit strategy should I need to use that money. I would have never thought of that. So that's a good point.
Shay, that's why you're here.
I'm here to learn.
I mean, you
I'm
know.
I'm here to learn. I'm really. Here for the people, Dennis. They're thinking these same things. They're listening
love you
right now and
they,
they're asking.
They know it.
But Dennis, I never thought to ask my provider what the exit strategy on my 401k was.
Yeah.
Or my 459 or my 403b.
457.
See, I'm making things up.
She's making up new plans.
I make up new.
I'm the creative. They should actually have
the engine, the Oldsmobile there, Ron.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
We have a question of a financial nature here.
Yeah, let's get out of this.
All right.
Carter.
What was that all about?
All right, we'll go to Kevin is calling in from Wisconsin today. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good,
hey,
thank
Kevin,
you.
Good morning.
I've been working at a company for 20 years, and I'm going to get laid off because of the pandemic or the vaccine mandate.
Yep.
And I was just wondering, do you guys know if I can get unemployment?
If you're laid off, then yes, you can get unemployment. You have to jump through their hoops in terms of getting it. Of course, you have to qualify.
Are you are calling from Wisconsin? Is that where you're employed?
I work from home, but yeah, the main office is in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, so you'll need to check the unemployment offices there. I'm not that familiar with the laws in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some people will be suspended without pay. Some will be fired. Some will be laid off. So it's kind of a
you'll need to check
individual
with the unemployment
situation.
Office there. Yes, the Wisconsin unemployment office.
They're calling
offices.
It unpaid leave.
Unpaid
okay.
leave.
It. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, honestly, I don't know the answer to that question, Kevin. You want to check with them, of course.
All right, I'll check.
Yeah, in Michigan, they have places called Michigan Works regional offices, and it's easier to get through to them than calling your state capital unemployment office. So if you have something like that in Wisconsin, I would try that. Meanwhile,
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin,
appreciate
for tuning
the call.
In.
All right.
So, Dennis, on that disability, I just had that disability exception for plans and IRAs. The bar is very high, like you pointed out. So you want to be careful about assuming you're disabled, because just because your 401k or your employer plan has a provision that says, yes, you can take money out of the plan if you're on disability, that may be a different standard than the standard to avoid the 10% penalty.
Yep.
So just because you're allowed to doesn't mean that you wouldn't get the penalty. It's not the same thing.
See, now, Shay, you were saying, well, that's why you're here in the in the studio to ask those kinds of questions, and that's why Heidi is here as well.
Heidi's she's a great teacher. She's really great at
isn't
helping.
She? Yes. Disability. Understand. Now, number three is death. Now, there's no in-betweens. Death is death, so I think that's relatively clear. Distributions made to beneficiaries after the death of the account owner are not subject to the 10% early distribution penalty. So for a spouse who is not yet 59 and a half to roll that deceased spouse's benefit to their own may not make sense. Because then if you're going to need to take a withdrawal, you see what I'm saying? Yes, indeed. As he turns the page. So it's amazing.
Well, Ed Slott has dedicated how much of his book? It's something like 36
pages. Oh, there's 30-some-odd pages here to the 10% early distribution.
Jeez.
So when someone comes in, we open up our books. Let's see here. You know, we need to check this. Can you do? Oh, yes, he can or she can. Amazing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you just get Ed.
I knew you'd be impressed. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Or you just call Ed and say,
right.
Ed,
help me. I've forgotten this particular rule. He's always happy to talk. You know, that the last time that I remember succinctly speaking to him, I may have mentioned this, and for, if I'm repeating myself, you'll get used to it. So we called him on it. We called him on a Zoom call just because we needed to catch up with some things, clarify some things on him. I think he was coming onto the radio show.
Right.
And he was like, I think he was almost levitating. He was that excited about the new tax code and tax law. It must have been about the Secure Act. That probably was what it was about. And the books he just had, the tax books, all open, and all of them were, he was deep into it. Oh, and look at this, look at this. He lives it, eats it, and breathes it. So,
can you imagine playing a board game with Ed or a card game?
No.
You just smoke it. It'd be
smoke
over.
Everyone. He's really quite bright. Number four, medical expenses applies to all plans and IRAs. So whatever it is, whether it's a qualified plan or an IRA, distributions cannot exceed the amount allowable as a federal income tax deduction to the IRA owner for medical expenses, here we go, in excess of 10% of adjusted AGI in the year of distribution. So you really want to watch this one. Mm-hmm. This one can do the gotcha thing. Some medical expenses can be allowed to not have, for you to not have to pay that 10% penalty if you're under the age of 59 and a half.
But also, when you take money out of a retirement plan, it can be taxable income. Mm-hmm. So you must keep that.
Oh, these are always going to be taxable income.
Right.
It's just a 10% penalty exception we're trying to avoid here. So keep that in mind.
But that's
the tax. Yes, I see that hand.
Question.
Yes?
So if you're going to be taxed on this, or there might be a penalty, could you borrow money at a low rate against the fund?
Yes, some plans, some 401ks allow you borrow the funds, borrow the money.
Oh, from the account?
From the plan itself.
Okay.
And pay your own account back with principal and interest. You have to stay on the payback schedule, or that can wind up being taxable to you in the future.
I see.
Taxable and or penalized.
I was thinking borrow from a lending institution and use that as collateral, but that wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, you can't collateralize a retirement plan. You can collateralize other assets. You might, for instance, get a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, to possibly borrow the funds for the short-term need. That's what I meant earlier when you're talking about the whole forest. What are my options? Stand back for a moment. Try not to panic when this stuff happens. Just stand back, if you will, and assess the playing field, huge and key, because of the responsibility we all have to try to retire, try to continue to fund our own retirements. I had a woman in yesterday whose boyfriend is a radio listener, and I was going to grab some, to another office to grab some research information. And I was thinking as I went, it's amazing to me the level of responsibility that we all have to try to figure this out. And this was her first time meeting with a financial advisor, and we were reviewing her financial information just to take a look over things. So it's incredible. Number five, before that, do that.
Can I give you one point,
before
Dennis?
Before I do that, before you interrupt me, it is 10:30. I'm teasing.
Just
what
one
did you
point
have to
on
say
the
here,
medical
Heidi?
Expenses.
Let's take a break, shall we, Ron? Okay, great.
Sorry. Oh, my goodness.
The medical expenses must be paid in the same year as you take the distribution. And this is something that messes people up all the time, especially at the end of the year. So just remember, if you're taking it out in that year, you have to pay the bills that are backing up that exception in the same year. So don't straddle the year end there.
You have to keep track of the details and keep track of your own paperwork in regards to these situations. And make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's.
Easy mistake to make, too.
Absolutely. So we have a ton more early distribution 10% penalty exceptions we'll discuss. We're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to listen to the interview with David Guthrie III.
Prout Financial Design, groovy people in the studio. Mr. Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, Shea Pataja, all gathered here today on Veterans Day.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. November 11th, 2021. And Shay has done an interview with David Guthrie III, one of our staff people, and does an exceptional job there in the TD Ameritrade department. But Shay, did you want to say anything before we start this?
Oh, well, David's awesome. He's kind of a renaissance man. He's interested in a lot of things. he knows a lot about a lot. I could have interviewed him longer, but yeah, we just talked about his experience as he served, and he was a leader, and then what that taught him in the long run and how he's applied it to life. So
he is extremely bright. He told me, we got talking about math. He said, you know, I'm looking forward to taking some math classes just for fun. We're talking calculus, trig, and all the rest. So, all right, let's listen to this, shall we, Ron?
Welcome. You are listening to New Retirement Radio. It is Thursday, November 11th, and I have David Guthrie in with me today. David is a veteran, and because it's Veterans Day, I thought it would be great for us to interview him. He's one of our staff members. He works in client accounts. I'm not going to go into too much detail, David, because I think you should explain. So what do you do at Prout Financial Design, and when did you start with us?
Well, hello. Happy to be here. So I work in the client accounts. I'm a client account specialist is my title. I process a lot of the paperwork, prepare documents for the meetings, and make sure things are happening behind the scenes. I execute a lot of the buys and sales of different accounts, and yeah, it's been quite a learning process. It's been a newer experience for me. Very enjoyable to work with Prout Financial Design, and I've been there for just over a year now.
Crazy, yes. So, well, we love having you on the team. I tell everyone you're the Ted Lasso of Prout Financial Design.
Well, thank you.
And if people are watching Ted Lasso, they know what that means. But one thing that I really like about you and picked up almost immediately is that you definitely have a found wisdom running in your life experience that you bring to the office. And it wasn't until I've got to spend some time with you that I found a lot of that comes from the training that you received when you were in the military. So I thought it was, when we were talking about this, you said, well, mm-hmm. I was in school and I dropped out because right. I wanted to find structure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were looking for some direction, and your dad had served. So tell us exactly, where did you serve and for how long?
Well, I served for just under 9 years. I first joined the military in January of 2008, and I left in November of 2016, ending back up here in Traverse City, Michigan, home. So I served in a number of different roles my time in the military, mostly as an airborne paratrooper in an infantry unit. I served in a light infantry unit up in 10th Mountain in New York, and in the 173rd Airborne Brigade over in Vicenza, Italy. I served two tours overseas there. So as a member of the infantry, you always start in Fort Benning, Georgia. And then I went to airborne school in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And from there, I attended the Special Forces selection. And I passed and attended the qualification course, still in North Carolina. I attended the course for about a year and a half, and I was asked to leave and go to a regular unit and get some leadership experience. So my first real unit beyond training was with the 173rd in Italy. Shortly after I arrived there, we deployed to Afghanistan for a year. We did a lot of really good things while we were there. I feel very proud to have served with the men that I did and to have learned from them. The next place was 10th Mountain in New York, and then back to Italy.
All right. So there you go. You've been trained in leadership. You were also trained in what I thought was really interesting as a master resilience trainer, and I feel like that's extremely valuable training to have for anybody. So really cool that you got to participate in that. And the conversation that I want to have today is that what makes a good leader? You had some really great things to share.
Well, I think there are a few things that are needed to be even, you know, a not great leader. You need to have, if you're going to be leading, you need to have to be able to clearly communicate, to have clear expectations of your subordinates, the people that work for you, and you need to have a clear understanding of the consequences for not being able to accomplish those things. All three of those things make a really great groundwork for building a team and developing a good professional relationship.
So what's the difference between being a leader in the military and being a leader in the civilian world?
I would say that the biggest difference is the level of responsibility. Just by the nature of the military, you're expected to be responsible for more. You're training people and convincing people, leading them to run towards the sound of gunfire. So you're responsible for their safety, you're responsible for their lives, ultimately. And you are responsible for, well, so the definition of a leadership role in the military, part of the definition of that is that you are responsible for what does or does not happen.
Mm.
So that means that if your subordinates fail to accomplish something, that is your responsibility as the leader. That's on you. You did not train them well enough. They did not understand the standards, or you did not mentor them enough for them to be able to accomplish that.
Mm.
So that level of responsibility is just different. I'd say that's the biggest.
Yeah, you were saying there's a super high pressure to do things correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's it like in the civilian world?
So I have less experience working in the civilian world, but I'd say that from what I can tell, the burden of responsibility shifts from the leader to the individual. There seems to be, I don't want to call it less accountability, but from the world that I grew up professionally in, there is less pressure on the leader and more pressure on the individual. There's a lot of job security in the military. It's very hard to get rid of somebody. But in the civilian sector, you know, if you're not performing, then, you know, goodbye. So it makes sense that burden is different. But
got you. What's another difference that you see between the military and civilian world?
You could say that the environment is less personal or friendly in the military. Emotions are not really something that you are trained to take into account. You need to be able to perform under pressure, high stress situations where lives are on the line, and emotions don't have a place in that world. So you need to be able to think critically, rationally, and quickly to be able to do those things.
Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's needed, but it definitely does something. Like in the transition back into the civilian sector, I've started to look back and think, oh, was this really in my best interest to,
shut off feelings?
Shut off all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, how did that affect my decision making and all of that? But the transition to the civilian life again was pretty difficult with having to tiptoe around feelings again, where your day-to-day was, you know, you're blunt and you're up front and you hold people accountable like to the nth degree, and now you need to kind of
tone it down.
Incredibly so. Yeah.
I like what you say, that habits and rituals are huge in the military and that the history of a unit is sacred to the members in the unit. How is that different in the civilian world?
Yeah, so like when you get to a military unit, you're expected to learn the stories of its previous members. You know every detail about the unit. You're quizzed on it. You get in trouble if you don't know things. In the civilian sector, you are not as much a part of the team, and simply because they don't have those team building habits and rituals ingrained into like a company. When you work for a business, you don't need to know the exact date that the company was founded. You don't need to know the first 10 clients of, you know, that came onto the business. You don't need to know their stories. You don't need to know those things. I mean, it's good to know those things, but it's not
part of the training across the board with businesses.
Absolutely.
You can see why the appeal is to join the Army and be a part of that tradition and the family and the commitment and having that pride, and how difficult it would be to transition into civilian life, where it feels like, to some extent, business can feel a bit more disposable. People can leave, clients can leave. It's much more, a lot more transitions happening.
Oh, yes.
I like what you said here, too. In order to build a team, you need three things. These are great, three great things. So to build a team, you need what three things?
Well, so you need to have your soldiers, specifically with soldiers. You would eat together. You would have a shared hardship. And mail historically was a big part. Everybody got together and they handed out the mail that would come in. So that's a big part of the morale and team building. I'd say that sounds funny, but the meals, having your soldiers eat together, like our soldiers were not allowed to eat with their friends. They were only allowed to eat with the people that they worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And on the weekends, you know, they could usually do what they'd like. But it was huge for team building that they had to spend that time together and figure out how to get along. The shared hardship, most of the time, that hardship was you as the leader creating hardships for your team. In a sense, you had to become maybe not the enemy, but the opposition for them, to give them something to struggle against together. And that was, I'd say, the second most effective team building technique.
All right. So I'm curious to know, with all your leadership training and experience, what lessons from the military do you think that we could use to unite us today as such a divided country?
So that's a very interesting question. The division in the country, I think you can see as like a division of goals, where we have a divide, but it's the destination of what the country should look like for those different groups now. So we need to figure out a way to be able to bridge that, to find some common ground, instead of wandering off towards the extremes, because we're a very large country, and those extremes pulling in each direction, you know, we cannot satisfy everybody like that. I think a shared sense of burden for the country would be a great place to start, where it almost feels like now you are not supposed to be proud of the country that you live in because of, you know, X, Y, or Z thing happening in the media that, you know, you shouldn't feel proud about. But I think everybody should take some sense of pride in their country. They should take some sense of ownership for their part in making this country a great place to live.
Mm, I agree. And then what do we need in our leaders?
So A leader should be able to provide purpose, direction, and motivation in order to accomplish those goals. And those are the three things that you will need to be able to successfully accomplish a goal. If you don't have purpose, direction, and motivation, you cannot reach your goals.
Hmm. Well, we've had some extreme examples of leaders, and we've had, for our country being so individualistic, in a lot of ways that's wonderful because we have the opportunity to go and create what we want to create and see it fully come alive, if possible.
Right.
But that's also has been a little bit of an issue and a divide in recent years, as everyone's, like you said, what's the destination here and how can we come together around that? So it's a really excellent point.
Yeah. And I do not envy the people tasked with that job, because it is a huge undertaking to create a great balance between the goals of a society and the goals of an individual.
Mm-hmm. All right, so to end with this, what was your favorite quote from the military?
So there was a sergeant major, his name is escaping me now. One of his favorite things to say was about physical fitness. We would do physical fitness every morning for about an hour and a half. And a lot of the soldiers would do physical fitness like three times a day. They'd work out over lunch and then in the afternoon again. But he would often say, "This is not the most important thing you will do today, but it is the most important thing you will do every day." And it speaks so powerfully to habit and building good habits, where those little things, they might not be at the top of your list today, but they should be at the top of your list to accomplish in the long run.
Every day.
Every day.
To accomplish every day.
You have to do it every day. There are things we need to do daily.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, I do too.
That's good. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for serving. We really love having you on the team. So,
well, thank you. It has been a pleasure to serve my country and to serve with the men and women that I did. And it has been wonderful to transition into the civilian sector and to be a part of Prout Financial Design.
Thank you, David.
All right, that was a pre-recorded interview there with Shay Pataja, who's actually in our studio live now. Thank you for that, Shay.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you, David, for sharing.
And we will take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dennis Prout and Heidi Thompson of Prout Financial Design in the house for New Retirement Radio on WTCM.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, and Shay Pataja of Prout Financial Design. Welcome back.
It's great to be here, and thank you again, Shay, for doing that interview with David Guthrie III. I appreciate the nice comments, too, regarding that. Some real good comments from David in his own experience with leadership. So a couple more 10% penalty exceptions, and I want to go to this one first because today
it's
is Veterans
Day.
Number 9, active reservist applies to employer plans and IRAs. active reservist, must be called to active duty for more than 179 days to qualify, and must take a distribution between the date of the call to duty and the end of the active duty period. They can also pay back the amount withdrawn during the 2 years beginning on the day after active duty ends. So obviously they'll want to keep track of this detail. The repayment goes to an IRA and does not affect IRA contribution limits. The reservist does not get a tax deduction, of course, for amounts repaid. You may also want to consider putting the amounts repaid to a Roth IRA, which you can do. So the bottom line with all this is, when you have a financial planning issue or question or life change, please talk to your financial advisor who is knowledgeable about these things.
Because the rules can be tricky.
They can.
And if you don't have one, come meet with us.
And there are exceptions, aren't there?
Exceptions to the rule. Yes.
And exceptions to the
exceptions. Legal, of course, always.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.